Oh, did you want to talk about Dark Souls any?
No, not really. Not until I play it.
Well, you were saying something about
Yeah, it
earlier.
was just a thing I found. And it was just for a petition to get it on a PC. I guess they didn't make it for PC.
I've read a couple articles on like why you should play it kind of things.
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking about maybe picking that up instead of Skyrim.
I was well, you get it cheaper. You can get it like $17 now, I think, or something like that.
Are you talking about?
Dark Souls?
Where?
At GameStop, I think. I could be mistaken,
I
but I
don't know.
thought around Christmas, because I almost got it instead of Skyrim, because it was so much cheaper. And I thought I could buy another game. But it was cheap enough that I could buy one game and get another one. Do we need silence?
I've got some.
You have no silence.
Well, I've got it as silent as it's going to
Should we explain that we both our children, our youngest children, are spending the night here, and they're having a wild, crazy party in the room behind us?
be.
Or do you think people should be able to get that by
Yeah,
hearing
they'd probably be able to figure that out just from context clues. Like
Shut
us stopping every 5 seconds to yell at them to shut up.
Are you printing again?
No, it's just, thinking. I'm gonna mix me a little bit more of this drinky drink.
Little more of this drinky drink. Yeah, Chad created a drink tonight, and it's probably an actual drink, like someone else has made it, but I've never heard of it. And it's pretty good.
Is too good.
What is it?
I'm gonna call it Amaretto and W. Which is Amaretto and A&W root
I think
beer.
you should just call it A&W.
Well, there's already a drink called A&W.
Yeah, but it doesn't have amaretto in it. What's
Well,
the A stand for, and what's the W stand for in the actual A&W? It's probably the names of the people.
don't know. It's bottled by the Dr. Pepper company, so I don't know who makes it. That is a question for the ages, sir. Or you could just Google that shit. But yeah, it's a little bit too tasty. You could accidentally drink a whole lot without realizing it.
So here's a big shocker. Paula Deen has diabetes.
She's got the sugars.
She's got the sugars.
That
Isn't she the
sucks.
one that puts butter on everything?
Yeah, but I don't think butter gives you
I don't
diabetes.
know. That's just what they're saying.
They're saying butter gives you
No, they're
diabetes?
saying that she has diabetes. I don't even
Well,
know if
she
it's a
might, but I'm a little confused on diabetes. Like, you can't, isn't, it's not like a disease. Like, you can't catch it, right?
No, it's totally communicable. You get it by licking Wilford Brimley's cock. Diabetes.
Damn it. I wish you would have told me that before yesterday.
Did you run into Wilford?
Well, I needed some Quaker Oats, and I didn't have any
The
money.
only way to get them from Wilford is to
Yeah.
lick his cock.
Like, how are you
Hey.
going to pay for them Quaker Oats if you ain't got no money?
You do know that our kids' is crossing guard at their school is Wilford Brimley, right?
He's very Wilford Brimley-esque.
I think
I'll
it's
give you
actually
that.
Wilford Brimley.
Maybe.
And that's what you licked. The bad thing is you licked Wilford Brimley's cock at your child's school.
Damn it. A&W Root Beer was started in 1919 by Roy Allen, who partnered with Frank Wright. So it stands for Allen and
Allen and
Wright.
Wright. Sounds like a comedy act.
Oh shit.
Oh shit, what?
They got together in 1922 to start a restaurant chain, A&W restaurant chain. I
I think
guess,
I knew that.
well, I knew there was an A&W restaurant, but I thought it
And
came
they ended up being more
after.
famous for
Yeah, apparently. Huh.
SNL Stefan is on Yelp. Stefan K.
Yeah.
He's on Yelp.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what Yelp is?
I've heard of it. I don't know what it is.
It's a social networking thing.
It sounds like you're yelling for help.
Yelp! It's a social networking thing, but it's like it lets you check in when you're at places and you can review them and stuff. Oh, so
like I'm out of my house, please rob me kind of thing.
Yeah, well, kind of, but it's more like I'm out of my house and I'm at the hottest new club in Manhattan called Twiggy's. And what's a Twiggy? A Twiggy is a tween midget that's tied up in a taco shell. I don't know. That was my best. I didn't really do in the voice, but that was my best.
And the format was a little off, but it's pretty good.
Now, it's off the top of the head. Better Come than on.
I could have done, yeah.
That was, I was proud of myself. Have you seen the new Dark Knight Rises costume? We're not going to talk about it on the show, so we can talk about it now. On the cover of Entertainment Magazine?
No, they have it in different? Like full,
huh?
Is it different than the first two?
It looks a lot like
bat nipples.
No bat nipples. No, it just looks more like combat-ish, like more made of like Kevlar and stuff. And it's pretty similar to the other ones. But the one thing that I noticed is that, you know, Batman's belt is yellow in the comic books. Has been for ages.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not necessarily now, but it was for years. But I seem to remember that in the other movies, even the ridiculous, stupid movies, his Batman belt was copper.
It was gold. Yeah, it was kind of metal-y.
Like, it was never just yellow.
Yeah.
And it's copper on this one, too. And that just bugged me a little bit. I don't know why. I'm just like, we just need to see one yellow belt. I mean, you know.
But
Batman
also,
hadn't quite reached the black belt yet. He's
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if you're going to complain about the yellow belt, his costume is gray and blue.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Black.
That's true, but.
If you want to go that way.
But I'm just saying that.
Crazy
that,
man.
That copper belt just bugged me for some reason. Why copper though? I guess they.
I thought it was more of a goldish, like a
from
metallic
here it looks copper.
Yellow.
I'm looking at it right now. It looks copper. It could be a gold. It could be like a dark brush gold or something. But
I think dark gold is copper.
I mean, if that's the only complaint,
yeah,
because it's a pretty badass.
What
costume.
Color is the bat symbol?
Huh?
Is it
black.
Blue? Oh, black.
No, his red. Costume's all
oh,
black.
I should
on
give
black.
Him a red one.
Ooh,
his sweetness.
All right, we should probably start this bitch.
Oh, come on. We were just getting good.
Is Bane from Dark Knight Rises just a glorified Zoidberg? Because he's got that weird mask thing Bane does.
I haven't seen a full picture of
him. He's got a weird mask thing. It looks like it's kind of Predator-ish.
Really?
I mean, not his like face. It's like a mask thing. I think it's some sort of gas mask. Or maybe that's how he gets the venom. Maybe it's like...
Yeah, no, he just wears a wrestling mask.
Yeah, it was more like... wrestling as in Lucha Libre, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrestling mask.
But saying a wrestling mask, people are like... People in the Wrestling Federation of the United States, they don't wear masks.
Uh-huh.
There's one, Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, he wears a mask. I think everyone knows what I mean when I say
Yeah, I guess
mask.
You're right. But I'm just saying that... Well, I had to think about it.
Yeah, but you're not everyone.
All right.
Oh, come on.
Finishing up, getting me a drink ready.
What are you drinking over there, Scotty?
I'm drinking some Sauza. Is that how you pronounce that? S-A-U-Z-A? Sauza?
That's how Sauza. You pronounce it, yeah.
Sazuza?
I don't know.
I'm drinking some Life Aquatic with Steve Sauza. Sauza.
What was it, tequila?
Yeah, it's tequila. It's a silver tequila.
Nice.
Yeah, it's all right. I think it's kind of a cheap model. I don't know. My wife bought it. I'm not a big tequila drinker. My favorite literature character of all time drinks silver tequila, but he drinks like $1,500 bottle tequila, you know, not bottle of tequila that you can buy from Price Cutter or Walmart. But
he also is like way cooler.
Yeah, he's a lot cooler than I am. But my point of that statement was to make myself more cool. I always said I should drink more tequila, and he just sips it like it's all cool, you know, like it tastes good. Tequila does not taste good. Tequila is, I've had some good tequila and it's all right. Like I had a friend buy me a really expensive shot of tequila once, and he's like, don't shoot it, you sip it, and it was pretty good, but it still tasted like tequila.
Yeah, I had one of my buddy's birthday's parties. We went down to Tucson, and we had, it was a $12 shot of tequila.
Yeah?
That's what I...
Did you down it or did you sip it?
Kind of just drank it.
Yeah.
Didn't, like, shoot it and... It's like, oh, just, you know...
Right.
Drink it like it's a tiny cup of tequila, which is what it was.
Technically, I guess those nice tequilas, you're supposed to sip them like a sipping whiskey. But...
Sip. I drink like a man.
Yeah, if I'm going out and I'm drinking tequila, it's for one purpose. It's to get hammered. Luckily tonight I am not out.
That's true.
At least not out on the town.
Not yet. Not till you pass out.
Alrighty. Welcome to the Agreeable Brains podcast, episode 31. My name is Scott.
And my name is Chad, and this is the show where two guys you don't know talk about stuff you don't care about.
All right, Chad.
All right. How's it going?
It seems like we've been talking for a little bit already. That's because we have.
That's true. You don't want to let anyone in on our secret, though.
I need to mute my... I muted my phone already. I just forgot to mute my laptop so it didn't make any funny noises.
Except for you smacking on the keys over there.
My fingers weigh a lot. There's a lot behind those.
That's true.
Hey, you want smacky fingers or do you want shaky table? Pick one.
Smacky fingers.
Okay.
It was a choice I never thought I'd have to make.
You know you love smacky fingers.
Shh, that's a secret.
Smacky fingers.
How you been, man?
I've been all right, you know, working, not really doing a whole lot. How about yourself?
About the same. Man, this week flew by.
Yeah, it did go quick.
I don't know what it was. I guess after the crazy holidays, I thought it would kind of slow down a little bit, but...
Not really. Still flying.
Yeah. It's like, seems like we just did this.
We did just do this.
Well, I mean, it seems like we just did it besides this time that we're doing it right now. And then you say...
I'm laughing at the kids. You hear them screaming in the background?
I do. It's hilarious. I'm trying to ignore it.
I'm sorry. I should stop surfing the internet because I'm not talking.
Yeah.
So how was your week, Chad? What did you do? Do you have anything going on? Because my week was boring and I had nothing. Oh, I lied when you asked me what I did this week. I lied and I forgot all about it. Now I need to talk about it.
You liar.
I know. I went and saw Mission Impossible 4.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was excellent. Really, really good. Better than the third one, I think.
I didn't see the third one.
I could swore you did. I thought we saw it because J.J. Abrams did it.
No.
Oh. It was good. You need to see the third one.
I think I've seen the third one. I'm pretty sure I have not seen the third one.
The fourth one is... the third one's got the girl from Carrie in it, or whatever her name is. It's not Carrie, the Stephen King movie, but that 90s TV show with the girl with the curly hair.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Maybe her real name is Carrie. But she had one of those shows where it was her name was the title of the show.
Okay.
And it was on the same time as like... all those angsty 90s shows, and they never quite took, I guess it was on for a long time, but I can't remember her name, but she's in it, and it was very good, and this one was even better, over the top for sure, but weighted in reality, I guess, because I mean, like, they used a lot of gadgets and stuff because that's, you know, it's a secret government spy organization, so there's gadgets.
Yeah.
But they, like, used what I liked is they used, like, iPhones and iPads and, like, you know, the big Verizon phones with or little tablets. Like, they would whip out a tablet, you know, which I thought was kind of cool.
Did they have an app for that?
They did have an app for everything. But
I need to lockpick this computer. Oh, download this app. Beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep. If you had a, well, you know, if you're going through airport security and you're nonchalant spy and the guy, the TSA pulls out this futuristic looking phone And he's like, what the hell kind of phone is this? What are you going to say? Oh, I'm the first to have it. It's the...
An iPhone is a futuristic-looking phone.
Well, that's my point, though. Is the iPhone is like the iPhone, the iPad. You know, I'm sure they're not your normal iPhones and your normal iPads. But they're already pretty powerful little machines in your hands. You can do a lot of stuff. And I know I listen to Doug Loves Movies a lot, you know. And this last one, or the next to last one, a comedian on there was just ranting for like 20 minutes about how he hated how they used the iPad. He wanted futuristic technology, like James Bond, not a technology where I can go to Best Buy and buy it today. But I thought it was good. I thought it was real good.
One question.
Sure.
How many times did somebody pull their face off and it was somebody
else? No mask in this one. Matter of fact, they kind of made a little bit of a joke about how Simon Pegg is a field agent in this one now. And the last one, he was just a computer and tech nerd. And this one, he's a field agent because he was inspired by Ethan Hunt to become a field agent. And he kind of makes a joke about how he wants to wear a mask because they go into a situation. They go in and there's supposed to be other people, and they just kind of look like the other people. They're not like dead ringers. And he's like, why aren't we wearing a mask? He's like, I've always wanted to wear a mask. Why aren't we wearing a mask? And Cruz just brushes him off. But and then they go and they try to make a couple of masks later, and it's a story point, and turns out they can't do it. That, you know, it breaks or something.
Huh.
But there's no mask in this one.
Because that's what kind of threw me off on the second one. It was just like everybody in that movie was wearing like three masks.
Well, Doug Benson says, if you have that technology where you can be anyone at any time, why would you go around as Ethan Hunt? If you're going on a mission, just become somebody else, wear that mask all the time, and then they will have no idea who you are. When you come back home, take your mask off, go do your regular life as Ethan Hunt. They're not going to have any clue. But, you know, it's like the James Bond thing. James Bond's a super secret spy who goes around the world saying, I'm James Bond, and I'm a super secret spy. And, you know, but
I think you misquoted him a little bit. He never says, I'm a super secret spy.
He never really lies about who he, I guess, he never really lies about who he works for or anything, though.
He never says who he works for.
Well, never lies about it. Says, I work for a multinational. There's one thing
I've learned from watching TV shows about spies is that spies are real people. They just lie about being a spy.
Yeah. Sort of like Superman.
Yeah. He's totally a spy for Krypton, and he lies about being a superhero.
But I thought of something interesting, and I don't know how interesting this is, actually, but I thought I'd bring it up to you tonight as something to talk about. We're talking about this movie is... A lot of people complain about these modern-day action movies as being, they get right to the action. You know, the very first scene of the movie is just huge stunt. Like, they open up with a huge stunt, generally, you know, like a huge CGI effect or just some sort of huge stunt. And then they get to the story development.
Who's complaining? Who are these people?
Well, you know, just general, in generalities. I think this is a new form of storytelling. Like, you know how there's the formula, the formulaic Hollywood. You know,
dude, that's not new. James Bond has done that since forever.
Yeah, it's not new, but I think it's being
still sharpened. Done.
I think it's being honed. Because you already know who these people are. If you're going to go see Mission Impossible 4, you're not like, I never even knew they made a Mission Impossible movie. You know who these people are. And so they don't waste any time developing the same characters. Like, they don't give you a backstory on Ethan Hunt. They don't give you a backstory on Simon Pegg. Well, they give a little bit. Simon Pegg says, Ethan Hunt says, why are you in the field, Simon? And Simon says, Tom, I'm in the field because you inspired me to be a field agent. Then dropped it.
I didn't know he was in Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't the movie come out like 10 years ago?
Well, it was 3 or 4 years ago, probably. Yeah.
It seems like a long time.
It was the height of his, like, the rise of his popularity. I mean, it was right when he made all those movies. Like, there was Hot Fuzz and all those. I mean, he made a bunch of movies right then. I just think that there's I don't know if it's new, like I said, but it's definitely, I think it's perfected in this movie, this type of storytelling. And it allows them to get to the point much quicker. They don't have to fluff it with all the, you know who these people are. They're spies, and there's a mission, and they accepted it, and now they're doing it. It basically starts like that.
Yeah. Well, that's why, like, sequels in a lot of genres are better than the first one, because they don't have to do the whole stupid origin story.
But they do, though, is my point, is they don't, like, just trust the fans to know what's going on. They do a lot of padding and stuff in sequels. It
Well,
seems like it
I
to
think it
me,
depends on
anyway.
what genre you're talking about, I
Well, okay.
guess.
Well, but it's still pervasive in all genres. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that I liked how this story trusted us as an audience to keep up with it.
Or it could just be there's nothing to keep up with.
Well, I thought I had a
I
good
don't
story. It wasn't
know.
super complicated, but it
I
was
like
fun.
my stories super complicated.
Basically, is we're the good guys or the bad guys? Oh,
Wait,
twist!
are they the bad guys?
But oh,
Because they're
twist!
not, because
We're the
they're
good guy.
always
We're the bad guys,
the
apparently. And then double twist. We're back to being the guys. I do like how, and spoiler alert, this movie is they get disavowed because there's a mission that goes wrong
That
and
always
they get
happens
blamed on them.
to
And
everybody,
so
all the
they're
time.
disavowed, and if they get caught, they're going to be tried as terrorists. And so they're like, they stress the point. They're like, you're not going to have any backup. You're not going to have any supplies except for this one little safe house that I have hidden away that no one knows about. You're not going to have any money. You're not going to have any support. If you get caught, you're going to get killed. They go to this safe house, and it has everything in the world. And Tom Cruise is flying around in private jets, and they're driving around in like $300,000 cars and have every kind of weapon in the world and computers and mask and technology, and you're like, boy, we sure are roughing it.
So it's like, hey, plot point, you can actually ignore any
Yeah, ignore the plot
consequences
point.
from
We just
it.
want to stress that we're in a
We
real
just
tight
don't have anyone else on
situation.
the team.
Yeah, exactly. Which normally they don't, it's not like Tom Cruise calls back to the base and all the other movies is like, how do I do this? Which, no, that's not true because that was kind of Simon Pegg's role in the third film. He would call back and he was like his support. He was like, I need to hack into this. And Simon Pegg's like, hacked.
You're hacked.
All right, I'm done talking about what I did this week. That's all I did this week. It was good. I liked it. If you liked Mission Impossible 3, you're definitely going to like Mission Impossible 4.
Well, I guess I should watch Mission Impossible 3
Yeah.
and see how it goes. Huh.
Has J.J. Abrams done all the Mission Impossible since 2?
I've no idea. I've
Okay.
only seen the first two.
Oh.
I didn't know he did the second one, or I mean the third one. Because for some reason, I don't know, I didn't really
It
care
was
for the
the number
second one.
two, if I remember right, was terrible.
It
It was
was
like
just.
the story was weird, it was
Yeah,
watered down,
it was kind of.
like they tried to make it too heady or something.
Well, I don't know, it was just. There was too many of those little twists. Like every 5 seconds, somebody would pull their face off and it'd be somebody
Twist.
else. And it's like, oh my gosh, they will not stop using these masks. And then they'll walk around a corner and pull that mask off. And it's like, haha, you thought I was this guy.
Mask on a
But
mask
now
on
I'm
a
not this.
mask.
Yeah. And it's just like, and then this guy's this guy half the time. And it was like, I just remember thinking, man, they sure like those masks. Which they
They
just,
were cool masks.
I guess. I mean, like I said, if
I
they
mean,
have
they
that
weren't masks, but
technology, I guess, they would use it all the time. But it was just
yeah.
kind of over relied on it. And so I was trying to remember, man, it seems like three came out so long ago. Didn't it come out like
3 or 4 years ago.
when? But when there's something where, man, for some reason I was, wasn't there some story about some guy dropping out of X-Men to do Mission Impossible 3?
No, that was Mission Impossible 2, which was the
Oh,
bad
was
one.
it?
Yeah,
Okay.
that was Duggery Scott, I think was his name, and he was supposed to play Wolverine, and he probably
Yeah.
could have been a pretty badass Wolverine. He's a compact little Scottish
Well, that's
dude.
why I was thinking that that movie was really old, because for some reason I was thinking that it came out the same time as the first
And you know,
X-Men.
2 isn't bad, it's just pretty laden with a lot of unnecessary
I've
stuff.
only seen it the one time, so.
Yeah, and it's not
But
horrible.
I'll watch three, I guess.
Yeah, we should. I wonder if it's on Netflix because it's pretty good.
Maybe 3 or 4 years old.
Especially because at the time, J.J. Abrams was an unknown. Not an unknown. He had a popular TV show. He had Alias on at the time, which is one of my favorite TV shows, and
And
it's all about spies, huh?
Felicity.
Felicity. Did Felicity do J.J. Abrams? That's the chick,
Oh,
Carrie from
Jennifer Garner?
Felicity.
Oh, wait, no.
She's in the third one.
Oh,
That's the show that I was trying to
yeah.
remember.
Okay, yeah, he that was his first
I didn't
show.
know that. Yeah, now I got to go back and watch Felicity.
Oh, I don't think it's anything like any of his other stuff. But that's where Alias came from, is he was doing Felicity, but it was hard. It's hard to write a story about just a chick that's in college. Like, right. there's no bad guys or, you know, big evil things for her to fight or whatever. It's just like, oh, I need to do grades and my boyfriend dumped me or whatever. And yeah, so
that's, I guess I remember that's a lot of what that show was about.
At a writer's meeting or something, he pitched the idea. And this was like a couple seasons in. He's like, okay, what if it turns out that Felicity is actually a spy? And
really?
And just her school thing is her day job. And then at night when no one's around, she goes off and does all these missions. And then she can come back to school.
Really?
And then, you know, of course they didn't do it. But
in
then,
his own mind, that's how it was
and
like.
And then he went on and developed that idea into Alias. That's where Alias came from.
Well, that's flipping awesome, because Alias was about a chick who was out of college and working for a bank. It was a false bank. It was actually supposed to be CIA. And turns out it wasn't CIA. She was actually working for the bad guys.
Yeah.
But she
had a magic clock.
Huh?
There's some sort of magic clock or something.
Yeah, there was an Italian dude who was super smart, and he invented all this stuff. And
oh, those ancient Italians. Was his name Leonardo da Vinci?
No, his name was like Rinaldi or something like that.
Oh.
Da Vinci? Which I think there's an actual painter Rinaldi or inventor by that name, but I'm not sure.
Leonardo Rinaldi?
He was Leonardo's cousin.
Second cousin, twice removed on his mother's side. So I didn't do a whole lot this week, but I have been, I got into perusing, Kickstarter
mm-hmm.
a little bit.
Yeah.
And we talked about that a little bit on a previous show when we talked about that, Zombie Run mm-hmm. app, which I still don't know whatever happened to that.
I think it's out on iPhone and stuff.
I've looked for it a couple times and I've not found it to purchase yet.
Oh.
So it must still be kind of in development, because I think it did hit the goal.
Last time that I was understanding that it was out for iPhone, when I did that story, if I remember right, it was out on iPhone, but they were still working on the Android version.
No, when we did the story, it was still on Kickstarter waiting to get financed. But there's a YouTube show that I watched that I like. That's a show about board games. And the guy that hosts it,
right.
It's actually become a pretty popular show. And the guy that hosts it is trying this experiment to see if he can get, basically he figured out, you know, how much money he would need to take a year off of his work. 'Cause he does some sort of work from home thing.
Right.
I don't know the specifics, but he kind of figured out how much money he would need to take a year off from work. And that way he could dedicate all his time solely to producing the show and stuff. And so he basically put up, he didn't actually put up a Kickstarter page. I guess he was trying to do a Kickstarter page, but that's, I guess it's a Canadian show, and I guess Kickstarter is only for North America or
only for Americans.
For Americans. And so he did a thing on, another website that's kind of like Kickstarter, which is called Indiegogo.
Right.
But I looked through that site, and it doesn't seem to have quite as big a community, I guess, as Kickstarter. For people that didn't listen to the last show, what Kickstarter is, it's a website where if you have an idea, you can go on this Kickstarter website and basically create a page, present your idea. You can say, I need X amount of money. So it could be, you know, I need $1,000,
right.
$2,000, $20,000, whatever. And then people can go and look at all these different ideas. And if they think that it's a cool idea, they can pledge, a certain amount of money. And most things have different sort of tiers, like
right.
$10, levels. $25, whatever. And you only have to pay if they reach their goal. So if their goal is like $5,000 and you pledge $20, but you're the only one that pledges, no one else pledges, and they don't hit the $5,000 mark, you don't actually, I don't think you ever actually get charged.
Oh, okay.
That's how it works.
Well, that's kind of cool.
So, yeah, if they don't reach their goal, then you don't actually get charged. So, and then generally, depending on what level that you hit, there's some sort of benefit. Like,
Kickstarter,
Okay.
Well, for that zombie game, it was if you donated a certain amount of money, you got the first release of the game and you got a special prize, like in the game prize. If you'd like donated a huge amount of money, like the top tier, it was you got a runner named after you or something like that.
A lot of them do really cool stuff like that. Kickstarter's been in the news on a lot of shows I listen to because
it's a good idea. It's like a really good idea.
It's pretty cool, and I don't know how
legal it can be, but it's a good idea.
Well, I guess
you're basically just asking people for money.
Yeah,
and as long as they get their money back, I guess there's nothing wrong with it. You know, if it goes down and doesn't.
You're asking for donations. Yeah.
Yeah, you're just panhandling basically.
But a lot of people are producing board games and then putting them on Kickstarter.
Oh, that would probably be a good way to do that.
Well, there's been a couple of really big, kind of big success stories come out of there. There's a game called Alien Frontiers that was completely financed by Kickstarter campaign. And it's actually, from what I hear, it's actually a really good game, really well produced. But it's, you know, it's things like if you donate, you know, X amount of money, 40, 50 bucks or whatever, then you get the game when it's released. So you're basically kind of pre-ordering it.
Yeah.
Then they use that money towards actually printing
and
the game.
And as a person who is investing, you feel like you've invested in something that you enjoy.
Yeah.
Because there's full details on what you're investing in. You know.
Well, it kind of
on the good ones.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. So I've been looking through Kickstarter, and it seems like there's a really wide gap. There seems like there's people that have very well fleshed out ideas that are well presented,
right?
That are totally like hitting their goal or going way over,
right?
And then there's people that just sort of half ass it and put just dumb shit on there, and like nobody is contributing to them.
Those are the same jerkwads that go to the bank though, and is like, you know, just smoked a joint and they decided to roll up in the bank because they had a good idea, and they're like, I need money and I have this idea to make fish tacos, but instead of fish tacos, they're going to be meat tacos and tacos, you know, and the guy's like, but there's already tacos with meat, you know, the guy's like, yeah, but it's a good idea. Let me have some money. You know, there's those guys. And then there's actual people with really good ideas.
I mean, I guess you could try that. I don't know. I think,
but you get what I'm saying. It's there's stupid people and everything.
Well, I think what it is, I think some of these people go to Kickstarter way too soon.
I can see that.
They have an idea. Oh, man,
that
we
would
should
be me.
Totally make a game about zombies. And then they go on Kickstarter and say, I want to make a game about zombies. Give me some money.
Yeah.
But, you know, the ones that do well are, you know, we're pretty much ready to print this thing. We just need money to print it. Here's all the details. Here's all the, you know, information. Here's pictures and blah, 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 all this stuff.
Right.
And so I've looked through a couple of things, and I found some stuff that I'm thinking about actually backing because I think it sounds cool. First of all, the YouTube show that I watch, I don't watch it like it's not like a the way okay so it's the show's called Watch It Played, and it's basically a guy and his kids. They will take a new or fairly new board game, and they'll basically just over the course of a few different episodes play through it, so you can kind of just watch them play the game. That's basically you know,
well,
kind of
so
learn it
if,
as you watch.
If you haven't, if you thought, I want to buy this game and I'm not sure about it, and they've done a review on it, you could totally see how the gameplay is.
Yeah.
See if the kids enjoy it.
And it's not, I mean, it's not even really, I mean, I guess it is kind of a review in a way, but really they just
kind of play
sit
it.
Down and play it and go through some turns, and you kind of learn the rules as it goes. It's really cool. And it's, the guy's pretty cool, and his kids seem like they are pretty good gamers and stuff, and so it's enjoyable. I haven't watched like every single episode, but I've watched the ones on the games that I'm interested in. But that one's on Indiegogo. But I would say, you know, if you're interested in board games, you could check that out, and you know, and then if you think it's cool, like I'm gonna probably contribute just because I kind of want to see how that works. Like if he can make that his full time job, that's what we want to do.
I know.
But, you know,
come up with a business
plan, Jeff. Well, I mean, again, though, he already has a product that is well tested and people are already behind. And then he's now taking it to the next step.
Right.
It's not like he just said, oh, dude, I should totally do a web show. And then he goes in there and types up, I want to do a web show.
I want to do a web show. Give me $5.
Money. Yeah. So, on Kickstarter, there's a bunch, there's like, game sections, there's like book sections, there's like business ideas, there's like all kinds of stuff. So I was looking through some of the game things. There's all kinds of board games, but one, there was a role-playing game that looks pretty cool, and I don't specifically know how to pronounce this, but I think it's called Tephra. It's Tephra.
Right.
And what it is, so it's a steampunk role-playing game,
Ooh, steampunk.
which, steampunk's always cool. It looks like it's sort of fantasy world with steampunk elements, but so I was reading through the stuff, and I guess they've had this game developed for a number of years. They've been running it at conventions for a while. It's really popular. They've been
Right.
selling the hand printed, Office Max copy, whatever. They've been selling that on the website for a while, and now they're ready to make an actual real book, and they're asking for money for it, and so that's what that's going for. So,
You know our friend Josh?
I do
I
know our
mean,
friend
of course you know our
Josh.
friend Josh. But that Fallout game that he made where he printed up that big fancy book and stuff, like that's better than some of the game books I have. He should totally do that.
Well, but
I
he'd
mean,
have
he
to have
couldn't
a
do
license
Fallout
for
because he didn't have a
Fallout,
license, but I mean, he's got that kind of skill though to follow through on something like that.
Well, I mean, that's what he's doing. I mean, he needs to take something that's already created and then get the money to go to the next step. Another one that looks pretty cool, I haven't really decided on this one, but it's called Forge Quest, and it looks like a combination of like an MMO with like a Minecraft kind of gameplay.
What is it called?
Forge Quest.
Forge Quest, huh?
It, the all the screenshots of the graphics look really cool. It's like the only way I can really think to describe it is like it's like a 3D 8-bit graphic. So
Right.
everything's like real kind of chunky and blocky, but it's all actually 3D.
Oh.
It looks kind of neat.
Like Minecraft.
Yeah,
Isn't
but it's a
Minecraft actually 3D?
Minecraft's 3D, and yeah, it's big and pixelated. It's maybe a little bit more detailed than
Okay.
Minecraft. It looks kind of like everything's made out of Lego bricks, I guess, maybe.
Okay.
Something like that. I guess you basically have these like MMO adventures, but then there's like this big crafting like part of
Right.
it and stuff too.
I've never played Minecraft.
I've never
I've
played
heard
it
people rant and
either.
rave about it, but I just don't know.
Yeah, it's coming out for Xbox.
It?
Yeah, it's gonna be Xbox Live Arcade app
You can
or
play with other
whatever.
people?
I don't know if Minecraft has got multiplayer or
It
not.
does,
Does it?
I think.
I honestly don't
All
know. I
right, we
don't know
should
a whole
stop
lot.
talking about it because we do not know
I mean, I
enough
know
about
it's
it.
like, for some reason, it's crazy popular.
Yeah, it's like super popular.
And I guess, well, cause, and I know there's like one, like there's two different games. Like you can just start a world and just build stuff. And then there's also some sort of like
Yeah,
RPG-ish
you can also make a
survival
game,
thing.
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't
true.
know. I'll see how much it is on Xbox. It's only like, I think, $10 on the computer. So hopefully it's not too much on Xbox.
Yeah, my son, Frank, really wants to play it.
Everyone likes it. I don't know
Yeah.
why. I guess I should give it a shot, but and then one other thing that I found that I thought was really cool, there's a guy that does a web comic called Oceanverse. And it totally sounds sort of, well, you were just talking about like the Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. It sounds something kind of like that. It's about this submarine full of adventurers and they like
I would love
protect the underseas. Yeah, I
that.
thought you and the his art style is really cool. It looks kind of like a retro 50s sort of art style, but I guess he's been doing this web comic for a while. So again, it's something that's already
Right. And it's a web
proven.
comic, huh?
And now he basically wants to take all the it, he basically wants to make it into an actual book, and with like he said, there's gonna be extra art and stuff. So,
That's
and I
cool.
think it's either like $15 or $20 to
Is the
back
top
it and
tier?
get an actual copy of the book. So
That's real cool.
yeah, I think I'll probably do that because it looks like a good read. But I don't know. It Kickstarter is pretty fun just to kind of look around and see some cool ideas of stuff that people are
Yeah,
doing.
I think you've talked to me into just surfing it, seeing what's
Yeah.
up.
And then there's all kinds of shitty stuff to make fun of.
Yeah.
Man, there's this one thing. I don't even know if this guy was
Serious?
spoke English. He had like a picture of like a stick figure, but instead of a round head, it was like a football shaped head with a dot in the middle. And then the description was literally like, "Eye people." And then it said, like, eye people are fun and exciting. This is the next big character development. Get in on the ground floor, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, they like to do all the things that you like to do. And it never actually said what he was wanting to make. And then it like wanted like $5,000 or something. Zero back.
I'll take $5,000 for nothing.
So, I think we should start a Kickstarter page?
I don't know. I would like to earn enough money, take off for a year, and do this show every day. Would we do it every day?
I guess.
Or yeah, once a week? Know.
I was thinking, you know, we've been talking about...
Would you start an internet radio company?
Well, I wasn't thinking about taking a year off from work. I was thinking about, you know, you're always talking about getting better equipment and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We could price out some...
So you could totally do that. You could do one of those pages and just for better equipment.
Yeah, I think you could do it for almost anything.
How about just alcohol?
fund our
alcohol segment.
Yeah, but then we'd have to do like one every week or something crazy.
If you guys
want to fund our alcohol, you can just contact
us by email. Yeah, we'll totally mention your name.
And
thank you to so-and-so for sending us a six-pack of Budweiser.
If you want us to drink your drink on the air, we will totally drink it and mention your product by name.
If you buy it for us. You have to buy it for us.
Send us a bottle.
And yeah, exactly. We will totally drink it. All right.
We'll see how many hits we get off that.
So we ready to talk about some innerbrainment?
Yep, that's all I got for the week.
Innerbrainment.
Yes.
Two innerbrainments. Notice how amazingly active and awake I get when it's my turn to talk.
Oh, I see how you are.
I'm just teasing.
So, Scott, what is going on in the world of interbrainments?
Well, one of my favorite books from last year that I read, and I'm not sure when it was released, but I read it last year. It's called World War Z. Also, one of my favorite books that's hard for me to say. World War Z. It stands for World War Zombie. Yeah. And it's almost like a diary of events right after, like a journalist is going around the world taking stories in from people who survived the big zombie apocalypse. And now they're rebuilding society.
The Zompoc.
And wouldn't it be Zompocalypse?
I guess it could be, but it's better to say Zompoc.
Sounds more militaristic, Zompoc. But there's a movie coming out starring Brad Pitt, and I was excited about that. I like Brad Pitt. I like the book, Zombies. It's going to be awesome. Now they're so excited about this movie, I guess they're turning it into a trilogy. So this World War Z is going to be the first of three.
World War Z, and then World War
Z2. And then World War Z3. Z3PO.
Or it could be World War Z, and then World War ZZ.
Yeah.
And then World War ZZZ. Okay, how would zombies be able to fight a world war?
It's not necessarily a world war. It's not a war. That's just a clever, what it is the numbers thing. You know, the thing, how zombies work, especially Hollywood zombies, as far as the slow, ambling, you know, I'm going to eat your brains zombie, not the super fast, I'm super angry and I have rage zombies, but the more traditional Hollywood zombies, they work in mass numbers.
But we have guns and tanks.
But, you know, I don't know. The book works. How do zombies work in anything?
Well, I mean, they don't really.
Exactly. But thank God this is fiction.
But, normally, you know, a zombie movie is like some, you know, normal dude like us.
Well, here's
a... He gets caught in the middle of some sort of zombie outbreak and you just got to...
But you don't think governments would fall?
No.
Because they wouldn't know what it was at first, and if they didn't know...
they would. Everyone in the world knows what a zombie is now.
Well, maybe, but that's not a pliable offense. We know what aliens are, too, so we're completely protected from aliens now.
No, because we don't know what the aliens can do.
There's lots of movies that tell us some things that aliens can do, so
but those are just movies, Scott.
Okay, that's what I... But there is an example of, like... a government toppling because of their stupidity. Most of the time, the governments in this story that were affected really majorly, like some of them came out almost unscathed.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, say it's not even zombies, just if half the people in the world just started going around trying to eat each other, that wouldn't cause the governments to fall.
If they were successful,
they would just go around and kill the people that are trying to eat each other.
If it was successful, it would.
They ate the government?
No, if they ate like 3/4 of everybody else. And then the 1/4 of the people that was left had to wipe out the rest of the world.
I guess that depends on how many zombies there are.
That's the point. And I think it was one in every three people were zombies. No, one in every three people were non-zombies in this book, if I remember right.
Dude, one person killed 2 zombies.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but...
Man, when I played Dead Island, I killed like 10 zombies at a time.
Okay, so we've established that this book is obviously fake.
I know.
But zombies, it's a good book.
Zombies piss me off.
And one good story out of the book is... And this, I could see China doing this. This is China. It was like the first government to just disappear. And no one really knew what happened to them until later. Years later, they figured it out. China had been building these secret underground cities for the big nuclear war that was going to come. And so the first thing they did when they started figuring out that, hey, zombies are real and the rest of the world is going to hell in a handbasket, so they just locked all their people in these giant underground cities. Well, they put infected people and regular people in there. And so they just became big ovens for the zombies. It just ran rampant, and then they just disappeared. Like, China just disappeared. Like until later we went to China and was like, where's everybody at? And they found these giant vaults full of fucking zombies, under the ground. And,
wouldn't they just,
I could see China doing that. Well, you know, in some movies, zombies do eventually rot away, or at least they deteriorate so much that they can't move. A lot of theories as far as like how zombies work, as far as books and stuff goes, that I've read in other books is, that what makes them a zombie, the meniscus fluid and stuff that's inside their body is also a preservative, and it slows the rotting process down. Like if a normal person died and you left them out in the sidewalk for a week, they would almost be gone in a week.
Yeah. That's why if for some crazy reason something zombie-like did it happen, you just have to wait a couple of days.
Well, and 28 days later, you remember they died out pretty much, the zombies. That. Oh, yeah, that's right, because you're a big pussy.
Yeah.
So stop making fun of my zombies movies until you can actually watch one.
I'll watch them when they're not stupid.
You mean stupid as in scary?
No, usually they're just stupid. Like, Walking Dead is awesome.
But that's not... more about the people than the zombies.
That's what I say. There's gory stuff.
Well, that's the point of World War Z, is it's this guy traveling around telling... he's a journalist getting people's... stories on how they survive. So it's more people oriented focused than zombie focused. At least that's how the books are. And
cool.
Yeah, so it should be pretty cool. And so that, you know, that's pretty neat.
Be like Letters from Iwo Jima.
Letters from Iwo Jima. Okay, sure. That's a movie I've never seen.
I've never seen it either, okay. But I know it's about people that survived a war.
So the next item is what?
Oh, okay, I wanted to bring this up.
Uh-huh.
All right, do you know the story of Snow White?
I know the Disney version of Snow White.
Yeah, that's all I really know. Well, there's the Brothers Grimm. Okay, there's like so much Snow White stuff all of a sudden. It's totally eerie and creepy and coincidental. And they're all redoing it to make Snow White like this crazy action hero person.
What's these classic books that they're now doing with zombies and vampires and stuff like that?
No, not like that at all.
Well, they're taking female literature characters like Little Women and...
Yeah, but I don't think Snow White
turning them into action.
Is a female literature character. It's just a fairy tale.
She's in a book.
Yeah.
And she's a girl.
She's a princess, yeah. Well, okay, so first there's that Once Upon a Time TV show, right? Remember we talking about that one?
The Once Upon a Time?
Where it's like, you know, everyone in the city is like a fairy tale character, but they don't remember.
My daughter loves the show. She prefers it over Grimm, I think.
That's,
But she's a teenager.
They're similar, but they're, yeah, we've talked about that before. Anyway, so in part of the backstory in that, Snow White... You know, while after she, basically it's like after she ran away from the queen and she's out in the woods and stuff. So after she ran away from the queen and everything, she's out in the woods, you know, normally where she's hiding out with the dwarves. So in the backstory of that it shows how she met the prince. Basically, she was working as a bandit. She was robbing all of the queen's caravans and stuff to steal money and stuff from them. And, like, fencing
so what
and stuff.
Is this?
Like, that's on Once Upon a Time.
Oh, that's on Once Upon a Time.
Well, so now there's two movies getting ready to come out that are both about Snow White.
Wait. No, I'm thinking of Little Red Riding Hood, I think. What's the movies called?
The first one that I saw is called Mirror Mirror.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
And that's got it's got Julia Roberts as the queen.
Right.
And I don't know who's playing Snow White, but it totally looks like this one looks more like a comedy, action comedy
right.
kind of a thing. But yeah, it's all about like Snow White. She basically hooks up with the seven dwarves and they turn into like this ragtag mm-hmm. bunch of misfit freedom fighter things or whatever. And then there's another one coming out, which I'll have to admit kind of looks badass. And it's called Snow White and the Huntsman.
Yeah, okay, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Is Wolverine playing the Huntsman?
No, Chris Hemdell's playing the
Chris
Huntsman.
Chris Hemdell. Okay, I think Wolverine was originally up for it and it got turned down. Who's who's the chick?
The chick from Twilight is Snow White.
Kristen Davis, yes. And it does look kind of badass. And, she's all in armor and shit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just got fucking Thor just tearing the shit out of a bunch of people with his Huntsman stuff.
With his non-hammer.
and it's got Charlize Theron as the evil queen.
Charlize Theron's hot.
Yeah. So that one looks like it might be kind of cool. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, I saw the trailers for both of those, like, the same time. I was like, that's just really odd.
They pretty much do everything in twos in Hollywood. I mean, in a lot of cases. Like, theme-wise. It seems like one company will put out one kind of theme-type movie, and the other they'll put out the same thing in another studio.
I think it's just the year for the Snow White.
Could be.
I guess. I don't know.
Could be.
Like, there was vampire stuff for a long time,
yeah.
and now everyone's
could be.
Doing...
Could be the year of the fairy tale.
Yeah,
the
maybe.
Two new TV shows about the fairy tales and the...
What else? And they just did that Little Red Riding Hood show.
Yeah, the wolf one. Yeah, with Amanda Seyfried, which was not bad.
Maybe it is the year of the fairy tale remake.
Fairy tale remake.
You heard it here first.
Well, considering last year would have been the year of the because it all started last year.
Oh, did it? I don't know. Well, I guess it's just now, just this now. Year. Whatever.
So, and what's this goon?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I saw a trailer for this movie. It looks awesome.
Yeah, I've seen it too. The animated thing based on the comic book?
No, not that character at all.
Oh. Well, I've seen the pretty cool animated trailer, and I think it was like a director made this on his own and was like, I want to do a goon movie, and then he presented it to Dark Horse and was like, this is how I would do goon.
Oh.
So this is something different.
This is something different. Okay, this is a movie. It's the star is Sean William Scott.
Goon.
And this is
the hockey movie. Yeah.
Yes.
And this could be the year of hockey movies, too, because Kevin Smith has got
he's got one he's been working
two
on.
Two movies coming out. Well, I mean,
well, are they coming out? Isn't he just started working on them?
Yeah, he just started working on one, but I mean, it's going to end up being a two or three movies, but yeah.
Yeah, but man, I saw the trailer for this, and it looks so good.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
kind
Sean
of funny
William
and...
Scott looks like he's back to being Sean William Scott.
Well, but...
He just got out of rehab.
This is a really different character than, like, Stifler or whatever.
Well, but I mean, if you've seen other movies like Gary the... what was that tennis movie called? I think it's one of his funniest movies.
Oh, I don't know.
You should look this movie up. It's on Netflix, and he plays Gary the tennis coach, and he's a former tennis pro who didn't quite make it to the upper echelon of the pros, and he's living in this trailer, and he's working as a janitor at high school, and he becomes coach of the high school coach of the high school tennis team, and it is just over the top, just hilarious. But
I think
he's got a couple movies like that where he can be actiony, he can be funny, he can be serious.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be more of a low key comedy though. I think it's going to be slapsticky or anything.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more. I think he's going to be kind of a dick.
No, he seems like he's a really super nice guy who's just really good at beating the shit out of people is the way it kind of came off to me. He seems like
his talent, his one, he can't skate. His one talent in life is he can fight.
Yeah, well, and I don't know if he even knew it. Like, he just seems like this kind of
he's an average
losery
dude,
guy.
And somehow he gets to go to a
he's
tryout.
At a hockey game with his buddy.
Yeah.
And his buddy's mouthing off to this hockey player.
I'm looking
and the
at
hockey
the trailer
player
right now.
comes up to kick his ass.
That's right. The hog trailer jumps out of
shit out of him.
Yeah.
And so then he gets to join the team. And then it just looks like it turns into a fighting movie.
Well, but a goon, in sports terms, is a guy who has no real talent as far as come with that sport that he's associated with. His one job is to go out and
protect
hurt people.
Everybody else. Yeah. So, I don't know, but he seems like he's kind of a nice guy and
right, he gets
sort of low-key and stuff.
Tap into his rage.
But he doesn't even seem like he's mad. He's just really good at fighting. But I don't know. I think this is going to be...
a good movie?
I think it's going to be a good movie, and I think it might be kind of a breakout hit for him. I mean, I know he's been in
comedies
quite a few
are
stuff,
tough
but,
to be breakout hits. And
well,
I know
but this is his only... this is the only thing that... I mean, he's been in a lot of comedies, but not really as the one main
right.
guy.
Well, I hope it is, because I like Sean William Scott, but I think that people... I think... I'm sorry, the kids, I can hear them talking. It's distracting me. I think that... I hope they don't advertise the movie wrong. You know what I mean? Like it's some sort of Judd Apatow,
well,
Apatow
I mean,
comedy.
Going by the trailer that they've got, I really want to see it.
Yeah,
I think
I do
it's
too.
Gonna be good.
I just
and
hope
it's got that
it up with the trailers.
What's that kid's name that's playing his buddy, the
Buchel?
Or
I don't know his name. He's Canadian.
Yeah, he's always pretty funny and stuff.
Yeah, I like him a lot. Speaking of Judd Apatow, he's in a lot of Judd Apatow stuff. It's also got Liv Schreiber in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Liv Schreiber could be a badass.
He plays a badass in this. He's always
another goon, but I think he's a more talented goon.
He's like a
more refined goon,
like an actual real hockey player.
Yeah,
or
like
something.
An NHL
like,
goon.
Yeah, not like a minor league guy or whatever.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I'm kind of excited to see it.
Yeah, I could see that. I definitely want to see it. Maybe we should make a point of us going together
if it
and then talking about it if
here.
It comes around here. Yeah. Well, if it. If we find out it comes with DeLawrence or something, we should go see it and hang out with Josh.
All right. I'm up for that. But that's all I've really got as far as Interbrainments this week. Got anything else?
No, that's it for Interbrainments.
Let's do some Game Brains.
All right. Game Brains. We don't always have a whole lot of Game Brain stuff, but I do have one this week. I guess you're a big Dungeons & Dragons guy. I'm not, necessarily, unless it's sexy Dungeons & Dragons.
You should shut up. But, yeah, I haven't always been, but...
You're not opposed to playing if...
Well, it's probably the game we play the most often,
if
but...
If the mood strikes.
You know, it's most gamers, like RPG gamers... D&D was like the first thing they played. I never played D&D until college. And,
oh, that's weird.
Yeah. And that was even, and even then, it was just a little bit. It wasn't really until after college that I got hooked up with the game group I'm in now
right.
and started playing 3rd edition. And then, of course, now playing 4th edition.
Right.
But I hear there's another edition.
Yeah, it says here the next edition of Dungeons & Dragons will be written by the players. That was this kind of the subtitle of the story. It says, in nearly 40 years since release of the original edition of Dungeons & Dragons, pen and paper role-playing game, various publishers have released many different versions of the game, pleasing new players and alienating old players on a fairly regular basis. Wizards
well,
of the Coast...
that. The way that's written, it sounds...
Well, people bitch about it.
Well, no, I'm talking about the... Okay, so... D&D was developed by TSR. And then TSR was eventually purchased by Wizards of the Coast.
They just decided not to go into
and
all that stuff.
Yeah, but they're saying... I mean, it's not like
it makes it
different
sound
companies
like,
are
yeah.
putting out different games. It's all, you know, been one company that's just had different
been bought
names,
by other
basically.
Companies.
Yeah.
Or, while I first started, this author says, while I first started playing D&D with my first edition of the Adventures of Dungeons & Dragons, I consider myself a D&D second edition player. With my dice varied and my warrior decked out with swashbuckler kit. I turned my nose up at 3rd edition D&D, and then there's something seriously wrong with those who have moved on to 4th edition. These are my personal preferences, of course.
Yeah.
But they are preferences shared by thousands of Dungeons Explorers that believe their version of the game was the best. So now, it says, we seek to build a foundation for long-term health and growth of D&D. This is from the Wizard of the Coast who put this out. And they're saying that we seek to build a foundation of long-term health and growth of D&D, one rooted in the vital traits that make D&D unique and special. We want a game that rises above differences of role, of playstyle, campaign settings, and additions. One that takes the fundamental essence of D&D and brings it to the forefront of the game. In short, we want a game that is as simple or as complex as you please. It's action-focused or on combat, intrigue, and exploration as you desire. I'm sorry, it says it's action-focused. It's action-focused on combat, intrigue, or exploration is as you desire. We want a game that is unmistakably D&D, but one that can easily become your D&D, that can become your D&D, the game that you want to run and play. So I guess it's by involving you in the process, we can build a set of D&D rules that incorporate the wants and desires of D&D gamers around the world. We want to create a flexible game rich in options for players and DMs to embrace or reject as they see fit. A game that can bring D&D fans together.
Never going to happen.
So you, if you want to go along for the ride, you can sign up here. And then I guess you can tweet them suggestions and they might take them into consideration.
But there's no
way. Sounds like it might be a marketing ploy.
Well, I don't know.
There's a lot of flowery words in there.
It sounds like they're just, I mean, but D&D's always been that way, though. There's always been optional rules.
You can make it exactly as you want it to be.
Yeah, you, I mean.
Sexy D&D.
Ugh. So, the whole which edition is better thing is completely ridiculous anyway. Play which one, I mean, just because they put out 4th edition, all the 3rd edition material is still there. If that's what you and your group want to play, you can play it. There's nothing that says you can't still play
third edition. No, if they put out a new edition, you have to move on. That is why they put out a new edition.
Okay. I don't know. That's what we did, but that's because my group prefers fourth edition.
Well, you guys read it, and you were like, this makes more sense. I want to play
it.
It's not
that it makes more sense. It's just the thing that I like about fourth edition over third edition is, A, everybody gets to do cool stuff. And B, you always have something to do. We played 4th edition, and then we tried to play a game called Pathfinder, which is basically, it's just 3.75 right. edition, you know. And it was so boring. Like, there was nobody could do anything. And it was turn after turn of, I swing my sword. Roll a die. You know, it seemed very slow and plodding.
I think that if they get, if they do involve the fans in the creation of this new edition, that it's going to be bad anyway. I mean, don't get fans involved into it. They're too emotionally attached. Right.
I mean, yeah.
Get someone who is good at making games, who understands what D&D is supposed to be, and who understands where games maybe are heading. And then take a good guess.
There's no way they can make everybody happy.
Yeah, there's just no possible way.
So, I mean,
people will make themselves happy, like you said.
And the whole thing about,
they will take the best of the best and use what they want.
Yeah. Well, and the whole thing about you can have as, you know, much combat or whatever as you like. It's always been like that.
Anyway, that's what a dungeon master's for.
Yeah, if your group likes combat, you'll have a lot of combat. If you don't want combat, you won't. Like, there's no rule that says you have to fight every 5 seconds. It's just hella fun.
Yeah, I beg to differ.
On page 17 of the DMG, subsection A, it says
exactly.
You must have a fight every 5 seconds. So, I don't know. Different groups have different play styles. Different groups play different games. There's no one game that's going to make everybody happy.
Yeah, our group would definitely want more fights. I mean, our group that we used to be involved in.
Oh, yeah.
Would definitely want more fights than anything else.
Well, because fights are fun.
Fights are whores.
Whores.
So, I'm assuming this, on our little list here, I'm assuming this is you, because I don't have an article on this, but yet you don't have Skyrim, so I'm confused.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to ask you if you've.
Oh yeah, the game is full of bugs.
That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
While playing Skyrim, have you found any bugs, like actual insects, like a mason jar with an insect in it?
No, but I've collected like fireflies and butterflies and for alchemy stuff. There is something about mason jars, right?
Apparently there's some sort of crazy big conspiracy thing going on in Skyrim.
What? Let me hear it.
So I guess there's five, I want to say five different mason jars with an insect in it that you can find, and it's like bee in a jar,
Guess what I'm going to do tonight?
grasshopper in a jar, or whatever.
Right. Here it
So
is. Achievement Hunter, Skyrim, Bugs in a Jar. Waiting for it to load.
well, I guess somebody, I don't know,
Oh,
I
it's a
can't remember what I
video.
was even reading, but I guess somebody found that if you took the jar and twisted it around so you could look through the bottom, on the underside of the lid is a rune. And then they took all the different runes and translated them and found that each rune corresponds to like a certain city on the map. And then they took a map of Skyrim and they plotted the different cities. And it made a big pentagram, and they drew the lines between the cities, and then in the middle of the pentagram, they went to that location, and there's a shrine there with
Oh, I'm looking at it
and
now.
they're thinking that there's some sort of thing you're supposed to do with the shrine and these jars. And so there's
Oh, I
like
totally
all
see
these
that.
threads on the translations and stuff, but I guess no one's actually figured out exactly what you're supposed to do, or even if there's actually something to do, it could just be
Right. A
some
joke.
people, yeah. Well, some people think it's just part of the lore, and some people think maybe it's something to do with some DLC that's being
Might be
planned to
coming
come
out,
out or
yeah.
something. But it's pretty interesting because
It is interesting.
it's not like it was something that was just kind of thrown out there. It's not in the rule book or anything.
Right.
It's just there's these items that just happen to be. You find random crap all the
Yeah.
time, in the Elder Scrolls games, and it just happens to be these just, maybe I can just decorate my house with these things. And then if you just happen to look, at the underside, there's these little rune things. And
Pretty
even the
cool.
translations, though, are like really kind of, they don't directly translate like word for word or anything. So they're not even 100% sure if the translations are correct, but
Right.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I'm going to go home and totally look for them tonight. Well, maybe.
I don't know. I was hoping
Probably.
maybe you had found one already and just
No, I
didn't.
haven't found a jar. I found bugs, but used the bugs in the in alchemy.
What do you use the bugs for?
You squish them up, put them in potions,
Like
or you
what?
just eat them and find the dis and the new thing in Skyrim. I don't know if this is what it was in Elder Scrolls and in Oblivion, but you if you don't know what an ingredient does, you can eat it and then you'll find out one of the traits of it,
Huh.
which is a weird thing. So you could just totally eat it. So you're just eating shit like stuff you find like bugs and human flesh and danger hearts
So like you eat a bug and it's like, oh,
and
plus
it's
one
like you've learned one
perception.
of its properties and its health or fortify or whatever.
Huh. That's
Yeah.
kind of cool. Then you could sort of piece together what
And all the
kind of
magic
make
items
your
you
own
find,
potions.
you can take them to an enchanter table and you can de-learn you can destroy the item at the enchanter's table to learn the magic. So you
Oh
learn the
yeah,
magic and then you can now enchant.
my brother was telling me about that. He does not like that system at all because you
Makes
have,
sense to me.
well, basically, but it's because you have to destroy. Like if you find something really cool, you have
Yeah,
to
if you have a
destroy
really cool sword, hang on to it for a while till you find the next really cool sword
it.
and then destroy the sword or just learn the magic from that sword and then put it on the sword that you have.
I guess that would probably. I mean, that's more the intent is. Once you sort of outlevel something and it's no longer useful, break it down to learn the different spells, and then you can enchant, the stuff that you're currently using. That might be more the intent behind it, but
So, and you also dive down here at 40K. What's that about?
yeah. I did some articles on the blog about playing 40K. There was a local comic shop, Hurley's Heroes, that had kind of reinvigorated the 40K scene
Right.
locally, had started kind of a league and stuff, and pretty much everybody I knew was playing.
Right.
And I had played 40K, a long time ago, but then had got out of it and
Right.
played a different game called War Machine, but then that sort of died off. a while back when they released a second edition, and everyone just sort of kind of, it sort of just kind of fizzled out. People just
Right.
weren't playing as much anymore.
Well,
But
it probably fickled out too when the store fiddled when it went the way of the dinosaurs.
well, no, I was talking about War Machine. It just kind of
Oh.
fizzled out in the area.
Oh.
Everyone just sort of stopped playing, and then second edition came out, and nobody really bothered to pick it up, and so just, nobody really plays anymore. So 40K's got a big resurgent, and I had, picked up an army and everything, and but then, due to events in the area, the comic shop had to relocate, and the place they're in now is very small and doesn't have any gaming room or
Right.
anything. And so, I'd played it. I'd still play, every once in a while, get together with some friends and play a game or whatever. But just recently, another store in the area, Changing Hands Bookshop, they're going to run a league up there. So, got my army all back out, signed up for the league, going to start playing that. And hopefully get a couple more articles up on the website. But I'm looking for that. You should totally start playing.
I've always thought about it, and it seems like it'd be right up my alley.
It's
As far as
a fun
awesome,
game.
and then the books and stuff that all go with it. I don't even talk about like game books. I'm talking about,
Oh, the lore
yeah,
for that
the
setting is awesome. I've always, even Well, actually, it's kind of like even before I started actually playing 40K, I was picking up the magazine that went with it just for like the painting articles
Oh yeah, and the
and
art
stuff
that's
like
always
that.
associated with it is really good too.
But I don't know. Sometime you'll have to come hang out, and somebody will
Sure.
let you borrow an army, and we'll throw down.
It's pretty complicated too, though.
It's not really.
Shut up, it's complicated.
Nah.
Shut up.
You know how to roll. You know how to count to
Nope.
six. All you have to do is be able to count to
Nope.
six.
I have a public school education.
Everything is on a D6.
Cool. So we will start playing 40K. Sounds like.
Yeah, I would usually at least try it. Give it a shot, see what you think. You don't have to go spend like $1,000 on models.
I'm getting tired.
I think once you play 40K, you'll totally get the 40K bug.
I'm ready for bed.
All right. So is
That is
that
it for game brains.
then? All right. Hey Scott,
What?
what's going on, Scott?
How about we have an update? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That's my update, news update, music or the sound effect. Yeah, like the old machine, that used to pump the, yeah, that. Yeah, that's, we got an
Was that
update.
like a telegraph? What is that
I think it's a
sound?
telegraph. Serial butt stabber caught.
Finally.
Butts everywhere rejoice. The serial butt stabber reign of terror is finally over. Authorities arrested suspect Johnny D. Gullen in Peru earlier this week and have begun to process to extradite him back to the United States. Gullen, who is also known as, by the amazing nickname Corta Nalgas or Butt Cutter. That's our
Man,
band
that
name.
sounds cooler in
We will be
Spanish.
called Corta Nalgas, Nalgas.
N-A-L Nalgas.
Corta
Corte
Nalgas.
Nalgas.
And we will only do David Bowie 60s and 70s themed music.
Like Ziggy Stardust kind
Yeah,
of stuff.
exactly. It'd be very glamorous. And we'll be known underground as butt cutters.
Ugh. There's probably already something known underground as butt cutters.
But he's wanted for stabbing the butts of at least 13 women in Northern Virginia area from February to July.
Wait. He's from Northern Virginia and he has a badass nickname,
No,
Cortenagas.
in Peru he's known as.
Oh, they call him in
They
Peru?
caught him in Peru.
What was he doing in North Virginia?
Well, we don't have the strictest of
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like, where can
he
I
came
go
through the
to enact
airport.
my master plan?
He came through the airport and you're like, "Why are you coming to America? Anything you'd like to proclaim?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm going to cut some butts." And they're like,
They're
"Okay, Northern Virginia it is. Go."
let's see, cutting butts. Oh, my computer's telling me this is you to North Virginia.
The best places for cutting butts. So, he's been caught. So women of North Virginia, breathe easy. Or fart easy, maybe. I don't. What?
You can finally stand up.
Yeah. So our next article is one that Chad is going to hate.
I already hate it.
Bacon linked to cancer.
I think that's fake.
In a morning full of bleak news about tragedy and economic woe, this story is particularly worrisome. A lot of big words in this article. Especially considering what I have just had for breakfast. Bacon, 2 eggs, and cheese on everything bagel. Swedish scientists suggest a link between processed meats like bacon and sausages and pancreatic cancer. So bacon and sausages create pancreatic cancer. That's like the worst kind of cancer, too. It's terrible.
Is there a best kind of cancer?
Cancer of the cancer.
Whoa.
That's where they on your cancer, they find cancer, so they have to remove the cancer.
That sounds worse than regular cancer.
That's very meta.
You have double cancer.
Cancer of the fat. So
it eats all the fat away?
Your fat belly. The doctor's like, oh, we got to check that out. And he goes check it out, and it turns out just to be a giant tumor, and he can cut it away, and then you have an abs. That wouldn't be so bad.
That'd probably still hurt.
Yeah, but then you'd have abs.
No, you would have nothing.
No, the doctor would shape abs out of residual cancer.
Sculpt some abs. Seem like plastic abs.
Yeah. No. Wu-Tang for life! Actually, it should be Wu-Tang gets life.
Can you be Wu-Tang for life?
I can't, but someone can be, I suppose. The Wu-Tang. But apparently, the Wu-Tang actually do what they preach, or, you know, do what they say. Revealed.
Get into a kung fu fight?
Secret FBI files document Wu-Tang Clan's shocking links to murders, shootings, and drug trafficking.
Oh.
I added an extra T.
All those songs where they were like, talking about murder. Traffic some drugs and then murder people.
And carjackings.
And jack your car.
Hip-hop supergroup Wu-Tang, the Wu-Tang, was involved in carjackings, murder, drug dealing, and money laundering, newly released FBI files reveal. The agent's dossier on the group's founding member, Old Dirty Bastard, has been released in response to a Freedom of Information Act request. ODB, a.k.a. Russell Jones, died of an accidental drug overdose in 2004. Rest in peace.
I'll tip a little of my 40 out.
After consuming a mixture of cocaine and opiates. But the rap group continues and is releasing its 6th album this year. The WTC is heavily involved in a sale of drugs, illegal guns, weapon possession, murder, carjacking, and other types of violent crime. An early paragraph of the 94-page Hall states.
Wait, but when was all that? Because those guys have billions of dollars now.
Jones was arrested 9 times between April 1st, 1987 and 1999. In 1999, he was charged with attempted murder, first and second degree, criminal use of a firearm, and unlawful wearing of a body vest.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I think they're more focused on ODB and not the rest of them, like Method Man and Red Man and
Rob. So basically, they're just saying that this gangster was an actual gangster.
Gangster, yeah. Because they're not mentioning anybody else. After being shot and robbed by men wearing ski masks in his home, ODB was interviewed by police. They allegedly made off with $10,000 worth of jewelry. ODB said he knew the gunman who lived down the street from him, but did not want to continue with the investigation because of the possible repercussion for his family in the projects. But he had repercussions of his own that he did. He didn't want the cops arresting the people. He wanted to get a hold of them. The FBI claims that is connected to the Bloods. So, you know, whatever the Bloods do, the FBI considers that the same for the Wu-Tang. So it looks like they're more focused on ODB and not so much the rest of them, which is cool. I mean, because RZA or Raza or RZA or whatever how he pronounces his name, he's gone on to do some pretty awesome soundtrack stuff as far as like movies go, such as Quentin Tarantino, Kill Bill 1 and 2. I think he did some work in Glorious Bastard. He's like really musically talented. Red Man and Method Man, they just want to smoke pot. And they made some pretty funny movies. So, I mean, they're likable characters is what they seem like anyway. So I don't want to see them all be thrown in jail. I don't listen to Wu-Tang. I tried to download some of their songs, just couldn't get behind them.
If you download their songs, they'll come pop a cap in your ass.
They'll murder my ass and carjack me.
I think if they've already murdered you, it wouldn't be carjacking.
I would still be upset.
I think it would just be murder.
Okay, so here's an awesome story.
Is it?
I lost my virginity twice. Woman, 27, reveals she has two vaginas.
Wait,
Uterus.
where are they?
Uterus didelphys is a million to one condition. She was born with, she has two wombs and two cervix, as well as two vaginas. She just, okay, there's an awesome quote in this which made me want to bring this up. But she says, "Hey, Hazel Jones always wondered why she suffered from terrible cramps and heavy periods during puberty. That is a punishment from God. So just, I mean, just take it." But it wasn't until she turned 18
Wait,
that.
wait, 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 wait. Her parents didn't realize this after all the diapers they changed? That
A
seems kind of
vagina is
weird.
tiny when it's on a baby, and you're not rooting around looking. I mean, you're the experience. I didn't
I
have a
would
little
think,
girl.
well, but I would think if you're a mom, you'd be like, hey,
Maybe they always thought something was up, but they didn't want to
there's
mention it.
two hot dogs down there. Oh, wait, no, it's a hamburger. I don't remember which one it is.
It is a hamburger
Yeah.
or a hot dog.
No, I think when you do the ultrasound, they tell you either hot dog for a boy or hamburger for a girl.
Yeah, but it
She's
wasn't
got
until
a
she turned.
McDouble.
She does have a McDouble, but it wasn't until she turned 18 that she was given her the astonishing diagnosis. The blonde 27, and she's good looking. The blonde 27-year-old from Wycombe has the million and one condition of the uterus di something or other. She has two separate uteruses and cervix as well as vaginas. Once, let's see, she was comfortable with having conditions despite the fact she had effectively lose her virginity twice. So her boyfriend has the choice of three holes he can fuck.
She needs to find that million to one guy that's got two dicks.
See, she's kind of accepted it though. She's not been ashamed by it. I mean, hell, she's been on like the Morning America show or whatever. She says, "If women want to have a look, I'm quite happy to show them. It's not something I'm embarrassed by." She did state, "If women."
Yeah.
I want to see two vaginas.
Come on.
Hazel went to the doctor after a long-term boyfriend told her she was different in the genital area. Different in quotes. So it was visible as an adult.
Well,
There's
it's
an
not like
off.
it's hidden. Like,
There are folds of skin that can hide it, Chad. There's a box of cow tongues that can cover that up.
Are they side by side? Is it one on top of the other? I'm
They're side by
curious.
side. Instead of the uterus tube like this,
Yeah.
there's this with two holes and a piece of skin that separate.
Huh.
Hazel said previously she had found sex very uncomfortable, but now she doesn't suffer any adverse effects. She turned down surgery so she, as it could have left significant scar tissue. Yeah, you don't want significant scar tissue on your vajayjay.
That's right.
When I was younger, I thought I was having cyst and urine infections from a young age. When I was tearing the middle septum, I don't know, that must be some woman thing. She added what the here's the quote. She added that once she asked a school friend which hole should she use a tampon for, but became too embarrassed to continue the conversation after her friend thought she meant she put it up her butt.
So, Sally, do you put your tampon in your left or your right vagina?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what the fuck?
So she says that I used to suffer from horrendous cramps and my period could be very heavy. I now know that my periods were worse because I have two wombs. So if I get pregnant, I have to be very aware not to get pregnant on the other side.
That would suck.
Yeah, that would
Well, I don't
suck.
know.
Well,
I mean, yeah, I guess it
the
would.
joys of knocking my wife up was that I didn't have to worry about where I ended the next sexual encounter.
I mean, because women can successfully have twins and stuff, so I mean, they're.
But there's two uteruses. If she gets two babies, the uteruses, they're separate uteruses, so they could one could tear into the other one.
Gonna fight each other to the
Yeah, they would
death?
lose the she would lose
Would they be
one.
twins?
I don't know. It
That'd
is
be
weird.
weird.
Sounds like a sci-fi movie. But and what if one of the vaginas had teeth?
Ugh.
She's a real good-looking lady. She
That's
says she has
not.
a great sex life, and I guarantee her boyfriend wasn't on that show. So that's pretty awesome. Oh, and there's one article that I thought I'd bring up for us, and then I think I'll be done with what's going on.
What is the one article?
Apparently, there's a new pill that they're getting ready to come out with that will. It says pill that makes you fit without having to leave the sofa. The couch potatoes
That
dream.
is what I've been waiting for all
I
my
know,
life.
I know. The pill that will make you fit without having to move a muscle. Scientists say they have created a drug that provides. The only side effect is it makes you have two vaginas.
I could probably live with
I can
that.
live with that. Scientists say that they have created a drug that provides all the benefits of exercise without actually having to do any. They have discovered that the hormone arisin, found naturally in the body, is responsible for some of the health benefits of sweating it out at the gym. When given to mice, the researchers found that the arisin was the key in the development of good fat, which burns off calories. There are two different kinds of fat: white fat and brown fat. The white fat is the good
White
fat.
fat you eat with fish, brown fat you eat with steak.
Or white fat lives in the suburbs and brown fat lives in the ghettos. I don't know which ones.
Oh, come on.
Well, I'm not the one who named it. Let's see. Okay, but there's two kinds of fat. Let's see if I can find it. Basically, what it is does is makes your body replace the bad fat with white fat, which burns away, which the body uses as fuel. Oh no, wait, no. Bad, well, the white fat is the bad fat. The brown fat is the good
Yeah,
fat.
kill Whitey.
Yeah, kill Whitey. The white fat is the fat that makes the spare tire look that we are both are sporting.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome that, and it's
And
going
it's
through
gonna
human
cost
testing
a
right now, and it's going to
billion
be out in a
dollars a
couple of
day.
years. What?
It's gonna cost $1 billion a day.
I don't know. I'd be down for it.
Because only rich people can be good looking.
Rich people are already skinny, though.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That is weird. It's because they can pay people to feed them good stuff.
It's all the caviar and champagne they're chowing down on.
That's all the new stuff that I have, Chad.
Cool.
You want to wrap this show up and we can go out talking about predictions from 1911 for 2011?
Yeah.
You want to kind of hear something? You want me to just pick something randomly? I guess I could set it up.
Yeah.
So, in the Ladies' Home Journal from 1911, they did an article that was called What May Happen in the Next 100 Years? It's basically just a bunch of predictions. A couple of them were that, like, Americans will be taller due to health benefits and athletics being improved and that kind of thing. That makes a little sense.
That seems true. It
Yeah.
seems like every.
Well, they only say that people live to 50, and people nowadays are living to be hundreds. Well, not hundreds, but 100.
Yeah.
You know, 90s. 90s is not inconceivable,
Oh,
especially
yeah.
for a Sicilian.
Yeah. Yeah, we live longer. Better health care and
Right.
stuff. Less natural predators, things like that.
It says 500 million people. There will probably be from 350 million to 500 million people in America and its possessions by the lapse of another century. Nicaragua will ask for admission to our union after the completion of the Great Canal. Mexico will be next. Europe seeking more territory to the south of us will cause many of the South and Central American republics to be voted into the Union by their own people. So they're predicting that America alone will have 500 million people in it, which I don't know how much we have now. That seems low because there's 6 billion people on the planet.
Yeah, but they're all in China.
Well, that's true. There's 1 billion in China. While you're looking that up, I'm going to read this one. There will be no C, X, or Q in everyday alphabet. They will be abandoned because they are unnecessary. Spelling by the sound will have been adopted first by the new. Oh, so Ebonics.
No, that's not Ebonics. Oh. That's Hooked on Phonics.
Yeah, there you go. Will be adopted by. Quit being racist, Chad. The sound will be adopted first by the newspaper English and the language of the condensed words expressing condensed ideas. Twitter!
Yeah. Well, Twitter's not condensed words. That's more like leet
speak. But the language is being condensed to fit the condensed message.
The current USA population is 311 million people.
Oh, so they're not wrong. Well, they said 350 million to 500 million. Yeah.
We have the world's third largest population following China and India.
It says here that we will have hot and cold air from spigots.
It's like central heat and air, kind
of. Oh, yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Huh.
Like, why would you have air from a spigot? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Hot or cold air will be turned on from spigots to regulate the temperature of a house. Yeah. So it's central heating and air. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. Ready-cooked meals will be bought from establishments similar to our bakeries of the day. They will purchase materials in tremendous wholesale qualities. Sam's Club.
Like a restaurant? What is? What
no, they're they talking about. I think they just
ready-cooked meals bought from an establishment. They're just saying,
yeah, like a Big Mac or like a value
fast
meal.
Fast food.
Yeah, fast food. And this is moving on to like groceries and stuff.
Do they not have restaurants in 1911?
Not.
When was 1911? That's a, what was going on 100 years ago? Like.
Let me read this. I don't know. That's
like
a good
the
question.
20s. Like I know in my head, like the 20s.
Oh, like it says that
gangsters
they will,
and flappers and
well
stuff.
This is saying that we will buy our fast food in huge bulk, which we do technically because we need the giant hamburger. But it's saying that we'll buy them in huge bulk because it's much cheaper to buy it that way than. But not. This is pre-made food, is what they're guessing.
They're saying like frozen pizzas and shit like that.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I give them that one. That was
coal good. Will not be used for heating or cooking.
Whatever, dude.
There will be
hold
no
on. I gotta run down to the basement and
throw
fire
some
up
coal
the coal generator to keep the computers working.
Ooh, here's this one. Photographs will be telegraphed from any distance.
Photographs will be telegraphed.
Picture messages. SMS. If there be a battle in China, and that's the sentence. If there be a battle in China, 100 years hence, snapshots of its most striking events will be published in the newspapers an hour later.
Dude.
Even
like,
today, photographs.
Stuff like, stuff, instantly. News is instant.
Yeah,
it's
an
like,
hour. I can't wait for an hour for news.
As soon as something happens, everybody knows about it. It wasn't China, but what was that? What was the last country that had the big sort of revolution thing?
Egypt.
Yeah.
And it was, and it was all instantaneous.
Yeah. Everything
automobiles
happened.
Will be cheaper than horses.
well.
Yeah. Yeah. Horses are only a few hundred dollars. I mean, unless you're getting into like the real, real expensive one. There are some that are $250,000, $300,000. But, I mean, just an average horse is just a couple hundred dollars.
Wait, what was the prediction?
Automobiles will be cheaper than horses.
Cheaper than horses.
Oh.
So, not really.
Not really.
That was kind of, I mean, yeah, I would say probably not what they intended. Like, I'm sure you could find a piece of shit car for less than a really expensive horse.
Yeah.
But overall, I would say.
Yeah. Everyone will walk 10 miles. Gymnastics will begin in the nursery, where toys and games will be designed to strengthen the muscles. Exercise will be, instead, we're all fat and sitting on a couch. Exercise will be compulsory in the schools. Every school, college, and community will have a complete gymnasium.
There's gym class.
Except for you have to pay for them. And in majority of the schools, gym classes are being X'd out because
really?
They cost too much.
Yeah.
To England in 2 days. So you can make it to England in 2 days.
You can make it to England in hours.
In like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Fast electric ships crossing the ocean at more than a mile a minute will go from New York to Liverpool in 2 days. The bodies of these ships will be built above the waves. They will be supported upon runners, somewhat like those of a sleigh. Some of our fastest boats
hydrofoil.
Are the...
Yeah.
The hydrofoils, yeah. There will be airships. But they will not successfully compete with the surface cars and water vessels for passengers or freight traffic. Wrong.
Yeah, they missed that one.
There will be no wild animals.
What?
Except in menageries. Rats and mice will have been exterminated. The horse will have become practically extinct. A few of high breed will be kept by the rich for racing, hunting, and exercise. The automobile will have driven out the horse. Cattle and sheep will have no horns. They will be unable to run faster than the fattened hog of today. A century ago, the wild hog could outrun a horse. Food animals will be bred to expend particularly all their life energy in producing meat, milk, wool, and other byproducts. Horns, bones, muscles, and lungs will all have been neglected. It's kind of there. There's some telephones around the world. Wireless telephones and telegraph circuits will span the world. A husband
Man,
in the,
I still haven't got my wireless telegraph circuit.
A husband in the middle of the Atlantic will be able to converse with his wife sitting in her boudoir in Chicago. We will be able
so
to
cell phones, basically. Yeah,
we'll be able to telephone to China quite as readily as we now talk from New York to Brooklyn. I can't tell you the last time I called China. But I have the capability.
Yeah, so I could if I knew what the hell a Chinese phone number looked like.
How children will be taught. A university education will be free to every man and woman. Several great national universities will have been established. Children will study a simple English. Fucking liberals. Store purchases by tube. Pneumatic tubes instead of store wagons will deliver packages and bundles. These tubes will collect, deliver, and transport mail over certain distances, perhaps for hundreds of miles.
Oh shit! What's that movie? Fuck. Oh man, I can't remember now. There's some crazy '80s, like wacky, weird comedy movie, but just part of the world is like it's not set like in our world, but part of it is like they get all their shit from tubes.
Strawberries as large as apples will be eaten by our great-great-grandchildren for their Christmas dinners 100 years hence.
What so the, was, who eats apples was, for Christmas
was
dinner?
Strawberries a big deal on Christmas?
Maybe, I don't know. That was
peas as large as beets. This guy's got a fascination with one vegetable or fruit being as large as another vegetable or fruit.
Watermelons as small as grapes. Grapes as large as watermelons.
Black, blue, and green roses. Roses will be as large as cabbage heads. This guy's still talking about...
In the future, everything will be giant.
Violets will grow to the size of orchids.
Why? What?
A pansy will be as large in diameter as a sunflower. A century ago, the pansy measured but half an inch across its face. Okay, so is it bigger now?
I don't know, like a giant mutant
with better
pansy?
Breeding and feeding and...
I don't know.
There will be black and blue and green roses. It will be possible to grow any flower of any color to transfer the perfume of the scented flower to another, which is odorless.
They do have a lot of different color roses.
I don't know.
There could be, I don't know if there's...
Few drugs will be swallowed or taken into the stomach unless needed for direct treatment of that organ itself. Drugs needed by the lungs, for instance, will be applied directly to those organs through the skin and flesh. They will be carried with the electric current applied without pain to the outside skin of the body. Yeah, because a lot of times when you use electricity on your body, it's painless.
They do. I mean, they do have that capability. It's just like, a nicotine patch and shit like that. But
it's not electricity.
No, isn't he saying without electricity?
No, he was saying with electricity.
Well,
it'll be, they're saying that these medicines will be delivered with electricity.
That seems dumb.
They will be carried with the electric current applied without pain to the outside of the body.
Huh. That's odd.
Well, he does kind of predict an X-ray machine. Not only will it be possible for a physician to see a living throbbing heart inside the chest, but they will be able to magnify and photograph any part of it. It's kind of cool. They will work. This work will be done with rays of invisible light.
Whoa.
It's kind of cool. That was the last one.
Huh. That's pretty neat. I wonder what people are predicting for
you should write
100
something, Chad.
Years from now. I can't even think about
you
that
should write
shit.
It just takes a little study. A little contemplation.
In 100 years, cars will be cheaper than horses.
In 100 years, in 100 years, cars will be the size of apples. Apples will be the size of cars. We will be using apples for cars. And we will eat cars as apples.
It's like a Richard Scarry book.
Alrighty, Chad, that's all I got.
Alright, man. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that article was neat. I love that kind of stuff. Thanks for having me over today, though, so we should wrap this show up.
Alrighty, let's do it.
Thank you for joining us this week. As always, you can find links to all the stuff we talked about, as well as other stuff we write on our blog at theagreeablebrains.blogspot.com.
And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can reach us via email using theagreeablebrains@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Facebook. Like our page to get updates about the show, as well as extra stuff we don't have time to get to.
And if you don't think the show sucks, please let us know by leaving a review on iTunes.
All right, Chad. Next time, wear your glasses.
Maybe I will.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. Laters. Oh, dude, you think I'm cutting that out, but I am totally leaving that in.
Does that mean I'm going to get pink eye in the mouth?
You're going to get pink mouth.
Dude, pink mouth sounds gross. That fucking bitch gave me pink mouth. Ugh.